The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, meteorologist Tom Hale, this is Red Eye Radio.
Good morning, everybody. If you have been with us over the last 2 days and today, we are continuing to talk one thing, and that happens to be Red Eye Radio overnight and through the morning hour, the story of Florence. Once a hurricane, now a tropical storm with 65-mile-an-hour winds, and it's slowing down. And the slower it goes, the more rain it is dumping across parts of Carolina. Actually, there's even rain bands all the way up to Virginia and Hampton Roads, which there's even a crew from Los Angeles up at Hampton Roads there to help in the rescue efforts. Along with me throughout the night, as you may even remember, Steve Lenore, meteorologist from KXII up in Sherman, Texas, along the Texas-Oklahoma border, and one heck of a meteorologist when it comes to severe weather, and they do get the severe weather up there. And so, Steve, want to introduce you and welcome you aboard.
Thank you, Thomas. Really a pleasure. Good to be here. Howdy to our Red Eye Radio listeners from coast to coast. This, again, going to be an interesting show tonight, unfortunately, thanks to Mother Nature.
Yeah, that is the case. And one of the things that we're doing with two meteorologists here, myself and Steve, is that actually that allows both of us to be on all of the different sources of social media as well. And if for some reason your radio station happens to drop our programming at a certain time, like they carry us for an hour, 2 hours, and so forth, you can always go to redeyeradio.com and you can redeyeradioshow.com. Want to make sure that's in there. And listen live button. And so you can continue to listen online with us. And we'll have a number of people. In fact, we're going to kick it off right now. We happen to have from the National Weather Service office, forecast office in Columbia, we have Frank Alsheimer. Frank is one of the meteorologists there, and they have been, as far as I know. Frank, have you been taking turns sleeping at work?
Pretty much. That's what we do is throughout the rest of the weekend here, we're about 12 to 14 hours on and then maybe 8 to 10 hours off. But, sometimes it's hard to sleep when something like this is going on.
Well, it's kind of like a triage situation at a hospital where, you know, you've got some beds in the back for the doctors to crash on periods and then back up onto your job shift. Is that pretty close?
Yeah, that's definitely a pretty good explanation of what it's like here. Some people end up getting more sleep than others, but you just do what you need to do to get the job done because it's these big events as to why we exist.
I understand that, and in fact, the first office, the Newport and office, which is up near up by. Now I'm just drawing a blank on the town that Newport is off of where the radar is located, Morehead City. That particular office was really the heart of things as it was starting to come in. And as far as I know, they've still lost their power and their phone service up there. Wilmington then took over. And now that this storm is moving into the Carolinas, the Southern Carolina area, you're going to be taking a big hit out of this storm because most of the path will be centered over you before it exits its way into Tennessee.
Yeah, that's correct. And fortunately, our folks up in North Carolina got pounded, did us a little bit of a favor here in South Carolina, and they took some of the steam out of the wind, so we're not going to get the over 100-mile-an-hour winds that they saw up in North Carolina. But unfortunately, that didn't take the steam out of the rainfall, and we're expecting some really prodigious amounts of rainfall with some serious flooding potential over the next several days.
Well, you know, Steve, Lenore was talking just a second ago when he came in. We've got monitors folks here lit up with all kinds of weather maps and information, and he caught one of the monitors that happened to have a really nice image of actually the storm. And he pointed out one thing that was of immediate concern to him. Steve?
Yes, thank you, Tom. One of the things we often see at night with tropical systems, especially those that are decaying, is what I call the warm core rain event. Around the center of the storm at night, you'll get a tremendous increase in convection there, whereas the spiral rain bands farther away from the center tend to diminish somewhat at night. So I have seen incredible rainfalls coming out of storms like Tropical Storm Claudette. That's way back in 1979. More recent tropical storms that have been landfalling systems. We had Tropical Depression Bob in southern Oklahoma back in 2015. It produced 3-inch-per-hour rainfall during a nighttime warm core event. So my question would be, based on what we're seeing on the radar, do you concur with me on that? Or that we're starting to see the development of that that pocket of precipitation west of Myrtle Beach there, which is where the Hurricane Center says the center is, 15 miles west-northwest of Myrtle Beach. Looks like we're starting to see one of those events evolving tonight.
Yeah, we've got two areas of concern during the overnight hours tonight for heavy rain. One of them is exactly what you just mentioned, that center area near that it's kind of west of Myrtle Beach, as you say right now, and it's not moving real fast, kind of slowly drifting off to the southwest. There's going to be probably some, 1 to 2 inch hour rain amounts in the heaviest there. But, you know, when you start adding that up over, 6 to 8 hours because of how slow it's moving, then you're talking about rainfall amounts that are in excess of 10 inches of rain once it's all said and done. So certainly, if you're talking about 10 inches of rain in some places in a 6 to 8 hour period, you're going to get some flooding there. The other area that we are concerned, another item that you mentioned is the spiral bands, is that the spiral bands aren't going to produce as widespread an area, but because the system is moving so slowly, the smaller, skinnier, heavier spiral bands will continue to move generally over the same locations that they have. So that while it won't be as, say, widespread as the center core rainfall, there will still be bands that will be receiving rainfall of 1 to 2 inches an hour. And so some local places, we're seeing it right now on north of Wilmington, for instance, could still get another 6 inches of rain overnight on top of the 12 to 20 inches that have already fallen up there.
Thank you, Frank. I do have a follow-up question on that and appreciate your time again. I know that we've heard reports in the media that the Carolinas had one of their wettest summers on record. Can you comment on that? Is that accurate? And how does that factor into what we're looking at here?
It was very wet along the coast of the Carolinas, not so much inland, but along the coast. Unfortunately, in the areas that are receiving the heaviest rain right now, it was quite wet. And I believe some of the areas in easternmost North Carolina might have even set some monthly rainfall records this summer. And so obviously because of that, your storage is in your lakes and things like that are pretty full already. And so it doesn't take as much rain to produce flash flooding and flash hour. One of the ways we estimate how much rain it takes is something we call flash flood guidance. And that's how much rain it takes over a 1 to 3 hour period to produce flooding. And right now that's about an inch. So in some of these places, it's only going to take an inch an hour to exacerbate some of the flooding situations.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. It certainly does. I just wanted to kind of bring our listeners up to speed on that because some of these topics are not things they normally think about. Of course, you and I in the weather world, that's kind of a given.
What did what's the impact of Gordon that came through here have on what we're looking at? I know we've you got a lot of rain from Gordon. I'm not sure the exact numbers, but that had to have already saturated the ground.
Yeah. Fortunately for this area, the heaviest rain from Gordon was a little bit further to the west. The heaviest for that kind of fell into Alabama, Mississippi, the panhandle of Florida. So the heaviest was actually on that side. We did get some of the rain bands in here, but we had a stalled front in July and early August, and had a lot of tropical moisture that came up that wasn't associated with a tropical storm, but there was a deep tropical feed from a hurricane that was in the eastern Pacific that rode up all the way over that front. and that's where some of that really heavy rain from earlier in the summer fell. But as we continue to go through the summer and continue to get typical thunderstorms, which is what you expect in the Carolinas, there hasn't been a break in those coastal areas, and that's why they're so vulnerable to flash flooding from this storm.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was concerned, because has this turned out to be a tree toppler? Have you started to have a lot of trees tipping over?
Yeah, there's no doubt. We've already had power outages. There's parts of Interstates 20 and 95 have been closed for times because of trees on the road, so that they had to get crews out there. And that's just going to continue overnight, because the rain has really loosened the soil around the roots of these trees. And when that happens, it doesn't take 100-mile-an-hour winds to blow them over. It only takes tropical storm force winds, and that's what we're seeing. So even though the heart of the storm hasn't even made it to Columbia, we've already had some trees down, some power loss, even in the city of Columbia itself.
You know, now, at the moment, the track looks to be pretty much coming almost over Columbia. I'm not sure if it's still. Initially, it looked like it was going to be going a little bit south of Columbia. Have you guys looked at that?
Yeah, it's still, based on what I'm seeing on the current trends on the radar, it still wouldn't surprise me if the true center does go a little bit to the south of Columbia as on its way northwestward as it starts to turn towards the mountains. Because the northwest flow on the backside, there's a pretty sharp cutoff from where the heavy rain is going to be, because we get something called the downslope effect, which will dry out the lower levels in the northwest wind. So anywhere that's on the south side of the track will get a lot less rain and not nearly the wind. So it's going to be almost like two-thirds of a storm rather than a full circular storm like it was when it was first making landfall. So that track does become very important. Just a shift in the track in the Columbia area, 20, 25 miles, can push the really heavy rain that we're expecting either 25 miles to the south or 25 miles to the north, and that makes a very big difference, because over that 50-mile range, we could see a difference between someplace getting 2 inches of rain and someplace getting 12 inches of rain.
What are the usual suspects? Florence, possibly? What areas are the ones you have the greatest concern for flooding out of this?
Right now, it's from Florence northward to the North Carolina border, kind of in a line from Florence up towards the Charlotte area, and north and east of there is where we expect the really heavy rain, with several places getting more than 10 inches of rain. And so that's the area that we're most concerned about. But again, if the storm does track further to the south, then we start getting into some of the populated areas that we're concerned about, such as Orangeburg and the Columbia metro area. And after the floods that we had in 2015, where we had a lot of our dam structures failed and not all of them built back up yet, we're really concerned that if it gets that farther south track, we start seeing those 6 to 8 inches rain amounts actually getting into the city of Columbia, then we're going to have a lot worse problems. So it's really, we're kind of waiting and seeing and hoping that it does take the track that the Hurricane Center has right over Columbia, because that would keep the heaviest rain to the north and east. Not that they're wishing ill on anybody else, but because of the way the city's built on the hill and the drainage situations we have, we're especially vulnerable.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. You know, let me ask you, can we count on you tomorrow, assuming everything isn't going crazy? We'll be back here again. We'd love to talk with you again tomorrow, possibly even a little bit later this evening as things change through the overnight hours. Frank, I want to let you go, but I will touch base again with you. This is Frank Alsheimer, and Frank is with the Weather Service office in Columbia, South Carolina. They're next in line to see some of this action, and they're right now crossing their fingers. Keep them in your thoughts and prayers. We'll be coming back in just a second with Kim McLeod. She is part of the Emergency Management Department of South Carolina. We're going to get some numbers and figures and maybe some good advice to go along with it.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Welcome to Red Eye Radio. This is meteorologist Tom Hale. Along with meteorologist Steve Lenore, we are continuing our coverage of what was Hurricane, now Tropical Storm Florence, with 65-mile-an-hour winds. And it's moving to the west-southwest 5 miles an hour, 15 miles to the west-northwest of Myrtle Beach at this point. And on the line with us, we have Kim McLeod. She is with the South Carolina Emergency Management Department. And Kim, I think you have the numbers and what actually is changing the dynamics of this particular storm.
That's correct. We are seeing a lot of power outages. Right now, we are at approximately 160,000 across the state, and that's a big jump from a few hours ago. So, you know, this is, of course, something that we expect to see, and, you know, the power companies are, you know, prepared to get those corrected or get those fixed whenever, you know, conditions allow.
Did you guys call in some backups for repair and everything in your area?
Well, I know that we are getting some assistance from a lot of local and, you know, regional people. So, you know, hopefully they will have some help.
Okay. All right. Great. Let me ask, the number you gave us there, is that number connections, individual homes, and then can we multiply that by like 2 or 2.5 or something to come up with a total number of people that are actually impacted by this?
Well, my understanding is this is, you know, 160,000, that would be homes.
Okay. And so, in other words, that number is probably, when it comes to total of people, probably closer to 300,000 people that are individually without power, dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just hoping that people did prepare for this, you know, and have flashlights and, you know, extra batteries to you know, get through this and doing their prep work in their home to make sure that they're safe.
All right. This meteorologist Steve Lenore is with us. Steve, you've got a question?
Yes, Kim, thank you again for your time, too. And I'm curious, within this 160,000 of folks without power or customers without power, is there an area that's concentrated the most where this is the case? I would assume Myrtle Beach is probably a lot of it, but that's yours to tell.
Yes, we're seeing where the storm is actually impacting South Carolina is where the majority of those outages are.
Okay.
And what's the next major issue that we're dealing with here, and as you see it, the flooding?
Luckily, currently we're not experiencing any flooding. You know, that, of course, that could change.
Right.
We just want everyone to be aware of potential flash flooding, and if there is the possibility of a flash flood, we're encouraging everyone to move to higher ground and don't wait to be told to move. You know, if time allows, you know, prepare your home by moving essential items up to the upper floor. If you have a two-story home, you know, bring in indoor furniture, disconnect electrical appliances, and be prepared to turn off the gas, electricity, and water before you leave.
Okay. All right. And hopefully they know where that turnoff is for the gas on their home.
Mm-hmm.
And so is that something you guys have been prepping people for through the media? You know, the different things that they need to go do if they have to evacuate?
Yes, really, that's really what we've been doing, you know, even before the storm got too close. We've been doing this pretty much all week, trying to get people, you know, the information that they need so that they can make the right choices.
All right, great. Kim McLeod is who we're talking to. She's with the South Carolina Emergency Management Department. And, Kim, we would love to talk with you again, if that's okay, through the night. And tomorrow we will be here with continuous coverage as well. As the storm starts moving closer to your base there in Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay, well, we look forward to it.
All right, thank you very much. This is meteorologist Tom Hale with Steve Lenore, and this is Red Eye Radio.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, here is meteorologist Tom Hale.
Along with meteorologist Steve Lenore. And we are here giving you coverage of what was Hurricane, now Tropical Storm Florence, but still a dangerous storm moving its way across. Wouldn't you agree, Steve?
Yes, Tom. This is one of the slower moving tropical cyclones we've seen hit the continental United States in a long time, especially for the type of rain it's producing. I guess the analogy would be Hurricane Harvey last year. These two storms together, Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Florence, couple of the slowest movers we've seen in decades.
And both with a good tap out to a water source and moisture for training showers and bands. We've got with us right now from the Raleigh, North Carolina, a National Weather Service office, Phil Badgett. Phil, welcome aboard. Thank you very much.
Hey, yeah, good morning.
Good morning. And so can you tell me, you guys actually really got the brunt of this early on as the storm was still offshore. The feeder bands were coming through, and you had some pretty strong winds, even with those feeder bands, and even a few isolated pop up storms with tornadic activity, a few couplets in there.
Yeah, that's correct. The feeder bands or the rain bands continue. We've had one primary band that I think you were mentioning earlier, talking to the Morehead City office. The amount of rain they've had over there around Cape Carteret and Atlantic Beach and Newport, about 23 inches or more than that now, storm total. We've actually had that band directed up into the I-95 corridor around Smithfield and Goldsboro and getting close to Fayetteville. Some areas have had as much as 15 inches of rain around the Goldsboro area. And so right now we have a flash flood warning, numerous flash flood warnings in that area, but also a flash flood emergency where they've done, they've had to do at least 5 water rescues in the last 6 hours, and that's in the Goldsboro area. But, due to the slow movement, as you were talking about, just extremely slow movement, the bands seem to just set up and then they train just, right over the same area. So our Interstate 95 corridor from Fayetteville up to Rocky Mount is just absolutely getting swamped. Lots and lots of road closures, leading up, secondary roads leading up to the interstate, and especially around Goldsboro and down to Clinton on the I-95 corridor, all in that range. There's quite a few water rescues going on. So not only do we have some of the winds to deal with, but we have the freshwater flooding now, and it's just, becoming a really serious situation.
I think everybody was taken back by the freshwater flooding in New Bern last night. Do you happen to know what the actual height when that water finished backing up there?
I'm not sure, but I think, we've been so busy here, with what you mentioned, even tornado-type situation, lots and lots of trees down. I haven't really been able to keep up with some of those exact numbers. But if I remember correctly, I think it was actually up about 9 feet. So that's a lot of water, 9 feet, if I'm correct about that.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. Of course, we're all doing the same thing. We're going onto the internet. We're looking at pictures and stuff that have been shot. Some of the best storm chasers. Goodness knows we can't afford to have any tornadoes in Oklahoma and Texas because every one of those storm chasers are in your neighborhood.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. And boy, do they come in handy. I tell you, we've had some really, really good reports and, obviously that's probably helping to save lives out there this evening and overnight. And with this slow movement of the storm, we're just looking for a continuation along that I-95 corridor from the Rocky Mount Wilson area, North Carolina, down to Fayetteville, and then all the way down to the South Carolina border, obviously, around Lumberton. There's going to continue to be 2 to 3 inch per hour rainfall rates, and we're talking some really serious flooding flooding rains. By the end, the storm totals could reach as much as 30 and even isolated 40-inch amounts in those areas, which if you take just the average annual precipitation for, say, Fayetteville, it's about 48 inches. So that kind of puts that in perspective. If you get 30 inches of rain out of a tropical system, or for God's sakes, 40 inches, that is just incredible for, this part of the country.
Phil, this is Steve, and I appreciate all your information you're sharing with us. I know that on October 9th, 2016, of course, Matthew came ashore in eastern North Carolina and just dumped incredible amounts of rain, and that created the flood of record at Lumberton. Now I see, according to the latest river forecast data coming out, that this flood would pretty much tie that one. Can you comment on the other places in eastern North Carolina, how this flood would stack up compared to Matthew or previous floods?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing in the forecast now, given this extensive rain shield and also the bands that are going to continuously be coming up over that same area, it's just amazing that it's almost affecting the same exact area that Matthew affected back in, 2016. And the Fayetteville area we're really getting concerned about. So Cape Fear, we have a gauge on the Cape Fear River, which is just upstream from the Lumberton area. And we are expecting, I believe they're expecting at least the Matthew stage and maybe even higher than that. So this could go, this could set maybe not the all-time record, but it may be very close at Fayetteville on the Cape Fear.
Okay, then you would say that is the waterway you're most concerned with right now in your region of responsibility?
Yeah, I would say that Cape Fear area, the city of Fayetteville, and also just because Goldsboro has been hit so hard in the last 12 hours, some areas up to 15 inches of rain just south of the city, the entire Neuse River Basin, especially from Goldsboro to Kinston down to New Bern, is going to have serious flooding on that, and it looks as though that may actually come close to the Floyd totals from what they're talking about at those gauges at Goldsboro, Kinston, and New Bern on the Neuse River. And obviously when it gets down close to New Bern with the continued southeasterly and southerly flow up into the Neuse River Basin area, the water really has nowhere to go, so it just backs up into the Neuse. So all these floodwaters, really, when they reach down towards the city of New Bern, they really just have nowhere to go.
Wow. That's we are going to keep touching base with everybody, and yourself included. This is Phil Badgett from the National Weather Service office in Raleigh. Hey, thank you very much, and we'll be back with Red Eye Radio in a second, and we will be talking to a radio station owner of radio station WGTN in Georgetown, right there in the action on the beach.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
We are back on Red Eye Radio, meteorologist Tom Hale and meteorologist Steve Lenore, as we continue our coverage of the hurricane, now tropical storm, Florence. And on the phone with us right now, we happen to have Rod Stalvey. Now, Rod happens to be owner of WGTN in Georgetown, South Carolina. We've been talking for about a day or two, and you've been kind of waiting for this action to get into your neighborhood. Georgetown, tell us where Georgetown's located.
Georgetown is right on the coast of South Carolina, dead center between Myrtle Beach and Charleston.
Okay. And this afternoon when we talked, you were getting winds coming out of the west. What are your winds now?
The winds right now, hold on just a second, from the southwest, and they're right at 36 miles per hour.
Okay. And that's your sustained winds. Have you noticed or written down any of the gusts that you've had so far?
Yes. At 43 miles per hour was the highest that I've received so far. earlier this afternoon.
Okay. Now, I understand you have a tower cam, so if folks wanted to go to the tower cam and take a look at you have an infrared tower cam nonetheless.
Yes.
How would they find that?
They could go to our station website, which is gtnsc.com, and click on the little green tab on the right-hand side that says Rice Field Camera.
Okay, Rice Field Camera. Is there any significance to that?
Yes, it's the tower is located in the historic district of Georgetown, and it overlooks it's mounted on the building overlooking a rice field where the tower is located, and it certainly has a historic value.
Mm-hmm. And especially, I imagine you can see the is there rice up at this point? There probably should be, so you can see all that movement.
Yes, you can.
All right.
It's really a beautiful picture, especially during the day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet. Meteorologist Steve Lenore is along with us right now as well. And have you got that camera on?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Tom. And hello, Rod, from Dallas, Texas. We're broadcasting this. Yeah, it looks like not a very good night for a picnic there. A lot of stuff flying around. And looking at the observations from Myrtle Beach, that's pretty consistent with what you said, mid-30s on your wind. I thought I would give you a quick update. For you and our listeners on the National Hurricane Center just came out with a new intermediate advisory on our storm here, and it's located now about 25 miles west of Myrtle Beach. That's the center. Of course, we know Florence is a huge tropical storm, and the winds are down to 60 miles per hour, so we're seeing the wind becoming less of an issue, but, of course, the rain is just incredible, and I think you guys really dodged a bullet on that. You didn't get a whole lot of rain there, did you? Like 3-4 inches maybe, Rod?
That's correct, and it's raining like crazy here, and I'm ready for some dry weather.
Well, now I understand. What happens when you walk down the streets? Do you see anybody, or did everyone heed the evacuation notice?
On our Facebook page, I posted some pictures earlier today, and it was kind of an eerie feeling because there was nothing. Nobody in sight.
Wow. And you would
except one person from a television station who remained nameless, but he was chasing his hat.
So what you're saying is it wasn't Georgetown; it was Ghost Town today.
Yes.
Yeah. And the guy from the television station chasing his hat. Well, that's better than looking like you're being blown around in the wind. But you have a lot of you have. A little more wind to go and some more rain before this thing moves its way way out of here. And so
this has been the longest storm, I think, that we have been waiting on. And now that it's here, it's taking forever to leave.
Mm-hmm. And so tell me, did you have evacuees out of your area?
Yes, we did. And we have some shelters just west of Georgetown and Andrews. And I understand that they've had a significant amount of people that are there now.
Okay. And Andrews is not really that far away from you. I mean, it's just up the road. But I'm assuming now that we've got the wind speed starting to come on down, now it's just a matter of staying in the shelter.
Yes.
And so for your listeners and for any of the people that evacuated went further on out, is there any advice that you would give those folks?
Just make sure that you consider your neighbor and always check on your neighbor.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that very much. You know, the short and sweet is that as this storm moves on through and we notice changing weather conditions, it sounds like, are you sleeping at the station?
I am camping out here literally.
Okay.
Rod, this is Steve. I was just watching your rice field cam when it went dark, and I was curious. Is your station on a backup generator? Has it been on one? And is that a standard procedure for you when you have storms like this coming in? How does that work for you?
All right. Well, the WGTN is on emergency generator, and that particular tower site is not. And if it went dark, then evidently we've lost power there.
Okay, sir. Yeah, kind of a coincidence, right? And we're on. And I do want to thank you very much for being a Red Eye Radio affiliate, by the way, there in South Carolina. And throw it
by the way, I enjoyed y'all's program last night with your meteorologist out of Charleston.
Oh, great. Yeah. In fact, we are going to have the Charleston meteorologist team back on again shortly, coming up within the next hour. So thank you for giving me a great open to promote this coming up.
Tell him I said hello.
I will do just that. Thank you, Rod. We're talking with Rod Stalvey. He is the owner of WGTN AM 1400 and FM 107.5 in the heart of it in Georgetown, South Carolina. This is meteorologist Tom Hale along with Steve Lenore, and we are here covering throughout the nighttime hours and again tomorrow what is now Tropical Storm Florence, bringing a lot of rain to the folks who are located in the Carolinas and even Virginia. We'll be right back.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, meteorologist Tom Hale, this is Red Eye Radio.
And I am here tonight along with meteorologist Steve Lenore. Steve Lenore is out of north of Dallas and south of Oklahoma City. That's a lot of territory to cover, and there's a lot of stormy weather there. But all the storm chasers from that neck of the woods, they're down in the Carolinas taking pictures and documenting Hurricane Florence, now a tropical storm with 60-mile-an-hour winds. Steve, one of the things that we would love to hear, I think, is from people calling into the station and telling us what they're experiencing right now in that area.
Tom, you're absolutely right. One of the best ways to really put the human face on this kind of a thing is to get eyewitness reports. It doesn't matter if you're actually in an area that's flooded or maybe you evacuated and you have a story to tell about that, because these things are always a learning experience for folks, just like we are hearing from New Bern, North Carolina. Some folks are saying it's the worst flooding in 300 years, which is unbelievable. You know, historians in town would know that. I don't think anybody's been around that long to report it. But what I'm trying to say is that we would love to have some people call in with either eyewitness reports. A question is great. Or if you're an evacuee, it's 1-866-90-RED-EYE. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. This is Red Eye Radio, of course. And bring it on. We'd love to have some questions. Tom, just a real quick update here. There's a tornado warning in effect for portions of southeastern North Carolina, and this is associated with a spiral rain band. And we're going to talk more about that with our next guest, I do believe.
Reed Hawkins, yes. Reed Hawkins with the Wilmington, North Carolina Weather Service Office. Reed, tell me.
Hey, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, buddy, and thank you for your help yesterday.
No problem.
Really, really appreciate the advice, and we've had some nice comments about folks who were indicating that they felt comforted by the fact that at least somebody was giving them a very straight story about what was happening in their neck of the woods. And right now, you've got a couplet out there, eh?
Oh, that's actually in our sister office, Moorhead City's area. Looks like it's up in near Onslow, Jacksonville area. And if there's a nice banding there, there's another band that's closer to Wilmington, but we're not seeing any rotations on that as we speak.
Okay. What's its rain production on the one closer to you?
Oh, we're freaking probably 1 to 2 inches an hour. So far, as of 1 o'clock this morning, we were a little over 11 inches of rain.
Wow.
So, and we that was mainly with the center that came over last this morning. And now that center's, down into South Carolina, now we're getting that big fetch, southerly fetch rain. And I imagine we're going to probably double our rainfall in the next 12 hours or so.
Wow, taking it up to 22 out of this.
Reed, this is Steve Lenore again. And again, appreciate you burning the midnight oil with us here, so to speak.
Yeah.
We spoke with Phil Badgett a little while ago out of the Raleigh office, and I was asking him which waterways he was the most concerned with in his area of responsibility. And I would ask you the same question. I know that a lot of that stuff upstream is going to come running right down the river through Wilmington there. Is that your biggest waterway of concern?
Yeah, well, which runs from like Fayetteville, North Carolina, down into Wilmington. That is one. Also, we have the Lumber River that flows just west of Fayetteville down through Lumberton, North Carolina, and it turns into, I believe, the Little Petey River, and that flows through some between Myrtle Beach and Florence. And, I mean, they're all of grave concern. And I think, as last night I was saying, we've had, this is our third major flood in 4 years in our area.
And, sir, how bad do you project it to get based on the current rainfall and future forecast rainfall? How bad do you project it to get in Wilmington, which we know is a pretty good-sized city, about 120,000 people?
Yeah, we've had some flooding downtown. One thing, when you get the river downtown, it opens up. It's more of a big estuary, and so it will flood, but you don't see the impact because it's spread. It can spread out so far. And there's a geological feature, which is kind of a rise, and Wilmington, as close as we are to the coast, we have a lot of areas that are over 20 feet in elevation. And most of the places I've lived, coast in my past, 20 to 30 feet elevation is almost like your ears pop.
That's funny.
You know? Dream, especially in Wilmington.
Bring that back again. We had a little breakup on your cell phone there. Okay. You guys are now working on cell phones. Am I correct?
Yeah, we've lost our here in the office, the landlines. We still have our system communications. We have the internet, and we can communicate with our chat software and things like that. But our voice over IP lines have gone out.
Okay.
So I apologize for the cell phone tonight instead of a landline, but that's the only choice they had.
Well, no, that's okay. We still have not been able to make a connection with the folks up in Moorhead. So when before you drop off, I want to get you to touch base with Brian to see if there's a number we can use to try and get into Moorhead. I'm assuming that
they're in the same boat we are in.
Okay, yeah, I figured that. And so in any case, at this point, would you say that you are on the improving side, or really status quo with fingers crossed that you don't get more rain?
We're going to get more rain.
Yeah, and so you're figuring you're good for 22 inches of rain out of this. Okay, we're breaking up here. I'm assuming I added the 11 that they had plus the other 11 that they're going to be getting and coming up with 22 inches of rain. Reed, are you still with us? Well, looks like we have lost Reed. Reed happens to be with the National Weather Service, Reed Hawkins, in Wilmington, North Carolina. So this storm came in about this time last night as it started to make its way close up to shore. And obviously wind was one of the major issues associated with it. And the heavy rain bands, they stretched all the way north up toward Virginia Beach. And so in this kind of situation, now that the storm is moving a little bit further south, there's still these feeder bands that are coming in, and they're kind of arching, and they're training. And Steve and I both have experiences with training storms, obviously. Most anyone who's forecasting, the meaning of it simply is that it's moving along the same track, just like
click,
a train
click,
moves
click,
along
click,
the track.
Click, click,
click.
Yeah, I like the sound effect.
I like
pretty high tech there.
Yeah, it is high tech. And so in any case, now it's transitioning into a rain event, which additional rainfall figures could easily be between Myrtle Beach and Columbia, looking at 10 inches of additional rain. South of there, Charleston could be good for 6 to 8 inches of additional rain. And looking to the north, Wilmington, some estimates are up to 14 inches of additional rain. And Fayetteville, they're looking at another 15 inches of rain from what you already have in Fayetteville.
And Tom, if I might comment on that, mm-hmm. when we were speaking with Phil Badgett out of the Raleigh office a little earlier,
yep.
he was talking about how they were really I think he used the word gravely concerned with Fayetteville back to Goldsboro, that area, with those projections that you're giving. And I'm looking at the Weather Prediction Center website right now, which is one place where the QPF, or the quantity of precipitation forecast, we love acronyms in meteorology, how much more rain is going to fall is what that means. And they're showing a contour of more than 20 inches from Morehead City back to about Fayetteville and Jacksonville. Just imagine, I mean, the catastrophic flooding that's taking place. In some cases, all-time records, and if not, certainly rivaling Matthew and Floyd for this part of the Carolinas.
Well, and one of the areas that happens to be in the target area is going to be Charleston. Charleston still has a good deal of rain to go as the storm moves its way on through. And so we're definitely going to be trying to reach out to the Weather Service office in Charleston probably a couple times throughout the evening, simply to see how their status is changing. And, of course, we've already talked with Georgetown, Rod Stalvey, who has a radio station there. He's sleeping in his radio station. I guess it's like the owner goes down with his ship, and so he is in his radio station and monitoring the weather conditions that are going on, has a tower cam available to view. And in most simple terms, you know, it's all hands on deck. From last night, we talked with a lot of sleepy but motivated people in all of the weather offices, most of which had a cot. And when we were scheduling to try and get them on the air, the challenge that we were facing was, you know, trying to get them at a time when it wasn't their normal sleep time.
Well, you know, this incident with Reed from Wilmington, where we lost him on the cell phone.
Yes.
I think this really illustrates how if you're in an area where storms are expected, especially these tropical type systems that can last for days and days, you want to have a secondary way to get information. Now, they can't help but their landlines were out at the Weather Service. But for a consumer of weather, let's say there's a warning out. A lot of folks, including myself, use my cell phone app to access that information. But you need to have a second way to get information. NOAA Weather Radio, they call it now an all-hazards radio. You can go down to the store and buy one for $30. And that's going to give you something that you won't get if your cell phone goes out or things like that.
Let's see. Let's take a look at line one. Candace, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Candace.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
I have a question about Newbern, North Carolina, and the flooding. Do you know how the Tryon Palace is faring in all of this?
Tell me about that. I'm not aware of that. I mean, tell me a little more about the...
Well, the Tryon Palace is a historical site in Newbern, And it's the home of the royal governor, William Tryon, back before the Revolutionary War. And it's a huge tourist attraction in Newbern. And I was wondering, with the flooding, if anyone knows how it's faring. It's right in downtown Newbern, North Carolina.
Okay. Well, here's what I know, but I'd rather hear it firsthand from other listeners that could tell us what's going on in Newbern and what went on last night. As you may be aware, you know, there were a lot of evacuations. They weren't swift water rescues. It's just that the river there, the Neese, backed its way up into there, and we had a rise of at least 9 feet is what we're getting reports of. And so to begin with, is this located real close to the waterway there in the Neese?
Well, it's been a long time since I've been down there. My late husband's family is William Tryon was their ancestors, and so that's why I'm interested. But the Tryon Palace is literally in downtown. There's all these historical homes, and the Tryon Palace is right in the middle of it. I mean, it's the central thing, but I don't know how close it is to the river. I don't remember. But Newbern is also the home of the birthplace of either Coca-Cola or Pepsi. I can't remember.
Wow.
The first soda shop was right in downtown Newbern. So I didn't, it's a huge historical district. So I was wondering, well, I'd love to know how it's faring in all of this.
Well, Candace, this is Steve. I do have some information from some websites talking about some of the famous bear statues were swept into the waters. And there's a picture on the internet of one of them toppled over by Hurricane Florence in downtown New Bern. In this particular image, I can't tell where the palace is, but there's been quite a bit of water several feet deep in the streets of the downtown area. And some folks are saying it's the worst flood in the city's 300-year history, which I have a hard time believing that, but that's what I guess the historical folks are saying.
Well, Candace,
Okay, great.
Hey, thank you very much, Candace. And if there's anyone else out there that has any more information for us about what happened last night and what's going on right now in New Bern, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 1-866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up shortly, we're going to be talking to the Charleston, South Carolina Weather Service office, and we'll have at least one of their meteorologists on board with us giving us a status report. So don't go away. This is Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
We are back, Red Eye Radio, meteorologist Tom Hale and meteorologist Steve Lenore, as we continue to follow now Tropical Storm Florence. On the line with us, now we go to a National Weather Service office that's seeing a little more action. At least, if nothing else, Florence is heading closer and closer to Charleston and part of its coverage area. Meteorologist Blair Holloway. Blair, how you doing this evening?
Hey, doing pretty good.
Well, good. Have you got some sleep now?
Now, that might be in short supply, but, you know, we're hanging in there.
Well, that's good to hear. That's really good to hear. And also, high praise as well to not only yourself yesterday, but we got some wonderful comments from listeners as well for Steve as well, Steve Rowley, who also joined us. And we look forward to your participation tomorrow as well as we continue to keep an eye on this storm. Give me a situation report on how you see things right now in your coverage area.
Yeah, sure. So looking at it right now, it looks like the center of Florence is somewhere up there just to the west of Conway, South Carolina. And it's not really moving a whole lot, moving very slowly, kind of off to the west or the west-southwest. And its proximity to the Charleston area here, we're starting to see mainly kind of moderate rain that's wrapping around it and starting to move into portions of our forecast area. But overall, the rain hasn't been overly intense.
Mm, okay. Yeah, that's what it looks like here. I've got I've got the Wilmington radar up right now, and I don't have yours up, but there seems to be a little bit of a dry slot along the coastline, which means that do you have an idea what the intensity is on the rain that's along Myrtle Beach from, let's say, Myrtle Beach down to Pawleys Island, Georgetown?
Yeah, just, been watching some of our rain gauges here over the last few hours, and it looks like the rain in this kind of this side of the storm, generally getting rainfall amounts in an hour somewhere in the 2 to 3 tenths of an inch per hour, maybe up to half an inch an hour. But overall, the rainfall rates have been pretty tolerable over here this early this morning.
What impact did the offshore winds have on power and everything in your area?
You know, we've had a few isolated reports of like some trees being blown down and power lines down. We've had wind gusts kind of this afternoon and this evening, generally in the 40 to 50 mile per hour range, seems pretty typical. The main thing that we've seen with the offshore winds is, it's kind of producing lower than expected tide levels. So we've had some very low high tides as a result of that. So actually our water levels are kind of low, kind of the opposite of what's going on in eastern North Carolina.
Okay, and I think we talked about the low tide levels as it was going to be last night. You still had some of that kind of effect going on because the winds were higher, but you were still seeing low tide levels.
Yeah, exactly. So we just happen to be on the, you know, the side of the storm where that wind direction is offshore for us. And you know, if it was the opposite, where we were getting the onshore flow, we would have much higher tide levels than we're experiencing.
Blair, this is Steve Littleworth, other meteorologist here with Tom. And so tell me how this event compared to recent events that have affected the Charleston area. It looks to me like you guys just really lucked out.
Yeah, we're definitely you know, fortunate that the center of the storm is going to stay to the north of us. So we're definitely not experiencing the worst of the storm. You know, comparing it to the last couple of events we've had, Matthew and Irma, much different storms, but, you know, they're all different in their own different ways.
Well, hey, thank you very much. Blair Holloway, the Charleston National Weather Service. Stay tuned to Red Eye Radio as we continue.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, here is meteorologist Tom Hale.
Well, good morning, everybody. We are still following Tropical Storm Florence. Been doing it for the last 3 days, counting today. And we will be keeping an eye on that storm and bringing you updates as we go through the overnight hours tomorrow. Then Eric and Gary return Sunday night into Monday morning. And so in the meantime, I don't know how they do this. You know, last year they picked a time that they were going to take off. And sure enough, we had Irma come rolling on through.
That's right.
And so, you know, we were called in to take care of handling Irma. And I guess we did an okay job because they invited us back. And they're, you know, they're out. I don't know where I'm sure they're not. They didn't go vacationing in the Carolinas. I'm going to look in here to Brian, our producer, and he's saying no, they didn't go into the Carolinas.
You got some great discounts on rooms, I tell you that.
Yeah, definitely. As long as you're close to the beach, there's discounts on rooms.
Of course, I'm not trying to make light of a really
bad
situation.
The hotels were packed to the point that some of the NASCAR speedways opened up their infields and said, "Bring your RV, come park here, and stay with us."
Indeed, I didn't know about that.
And so, but if you're listening to us right now and your station does not carry this show into the next hour and you don't want to lose us, I'm going to suggest that you can listen at Red Eye Radio Show. That's RedEyeRadioShow.com. Just click the Listen Live button, and you can continue throughout the night as this still very dangerous storm, would you say that?
Oh, definitely, Tom. 60-mile-per-hour winds may not sound like much, but the story, of course, is not the wind. It's the rain. And speaking of our high-tech listeners, another way you can access Red Eye Radio is install the Red Eye Radio app from your app store. So on your iPhone store, or on your Android, your Google Play store, Red Eye Radio app. And for you guys and gals that have a robot in your house, we're talking about the Alexa, with an Echo device, say, quote, "Alexa, enable the Red Eye Radio skill," end quote. Then anytime after that, if you want to access Red Eye Radio, just say, "Alexa, open Red Eye Radio," and you'll be rocking and rolling.
And next thing you know, you won't have us. You'll probably have, you know, Gary and Harley, but you'll have Red Eye Radio, and you'll know that if there is stormy weather out there, that Red Eye Radio is about taking good care of you. Tropical Storm Florence, current speed of the winds is 60 miles an hour. Its pressure is up now, up to 9084. That's 9084 millibars. And
let's make it 984. I know that's what you meant.
Yeah, did I say? Did I?
You said 9084. Like, yeah, uh-oh, we've got a little.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Red Eye.
The one things that people know about me in Texas and Oklahoma, that I can be quite dyslexic at times, and so in any case, movement is to the west southwest now. It's kind of hugging the beach, and it's about 25 miles to the west of Myrtle Beach.
5 mile per hour forward speed.
Yeah, 5 mile.
Pretty
forward
terrible.
Speed.
I mean, yeah. That's turtle speed. I could walk faster than on a good day.
Well, there's some joggers out there that can jog faster.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So that's part of the problem, Tom, is that kind of forward motion with the kind of rainfall rates we're getting. Still seeing some 1 to 2 inch per hour rainfall rates on radar.
Mm-hmm.
Do the math. That's not good.
No, it isn't good. And this is an area that has had a significant amount of rain, the Carolinas, up to this point in the last, just this last season.
Yeah, Phil Badgett for the Raleigh National Weather Service Office told us that especially the eastern part of the state where all this rain is falling had their wettest summer on record. So all the lakes were already full. The ground was already fairly saturated, couldn't take much more water. And you bring a flood of record that even puts Matthews flooding 2 years ago to shame. I've been looking at some of the river forecast records here that they're forecasting based on the rain that's already fallen and rain that will fall. And in some cases, these new records are 5 or 6 feet higher than the old records. See, I can't even imagine the amount of devastation that's going to wreak on some of these towns along the rivers.
Yeah. Yeah, Lumberton, as an example, was really hit hard as the rivers overflowed back in the day of Matthew, and so if we're talking 5 or 6 feet above that, there could be some very significant flooding. And so the issue is that this storm isn't over with even after the storm passes and the skies start to clear. These rivers are going to be swollen and at record heights for. What's your guess?
Well, we saw this with Harvey last year in southeast Texas. Yeah. Even days after the rain had ceased and the sun was out, these rivers were still rising. It takes many days for all that water to collect and run down to a certain point where the tributaries meet the main stem, they call it, of the river, and then that reaches a maximum flood crest. Sometimes 3, 4, 5 days after the rain has ended, it just keeps creeping up 2 or 3 inches per hour, and that's what's going to be happening here, most likely. The river crest is always after the rain has ended a vast majority of the time. And I want to give folks that are listening just a couple of numbers here. Actually, in Lumberton is one of the less severe floods we're looking at compared to the flood of record. It would just tie the flood from Matthew back in 2016 on October 9th. But the Cape Fear River near Burgaw, and I hope I'm saying that right, B-U-R-G-A-W, Burgaw, North Carolina, is forecast to crest 3 feet above its old record, and that was 22.5 feet. The National Weather Service is going for 25.8 feet on the Cape Fear River, and that's south of Jacksonville, North Carolina. And the northeast Cape Fear River near Chinquapin, North Carolina, near Jacksonville, is also forecast to be 3 feet above its all-time record. And, Tom, to give you a further answer to your question, today is the 15th of September. This forecast crest... The crest means the maximum height of the river won't happen until the 19th of September, which is next Wednesday. Well, the rain will be long gone before then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. And so in any case, the bottom line is if you have evacuated and you're planning on coming back, this kind of situation may delay your return to your area.
Absolutely. I mean, looking at one thing after a flood is they have to go and inspect the bridges. We live in the Texoma area where Oklahoma and Texas meet, and I remember after the big floods in 2015, mm-hmm. they had to go around and inspect several major bridges that crossed rivers to make sure they were still safe to traverse. So that created big detours, log jams of traffic, and the roadways can be eroded and damaged, washed out by these kinds of floods real easy. You're going to have a lot of roadways that will be closed for repairs, down to one lane, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's going to not be a lot of fun for folks heading back in. One more river before I throw it back to you, Tom. The Neuse River. It's N-E-U-S-E, but it's pronounced Neuse. The Neuse River at Goldsboro will come up just about 3 inches short of the record. And, again, that's forecast to happen on Monday. And then all of next week, it just kind of holds what they call a flat crest, where it drops maybe an inch or two a day. So these are going to be prolonged flood events, inundating probably hundreds of thousands of acres.
And the water associated with it, the water quality has got to be horrible.
Yeah, we're going to talk with Pam Walker, I believe, a little bit later about some of these environmental issues that flooding can cause. And I think we want her to weigh in on that, and she'll be coming up in our next segment.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, one of the things that one of the areas that got hit hardest, okay, is Wilmington from the landfall last night. And so we've got Westwood One correspondent Natasha Chin in Wilmington. Had a report for us on what was going on there.
For more than 24 hours, Florence has battered the Carolina coast. Flying debris, catastrophic flooding, and uprooted trees show deadly Florence's force. In Wilmington, three people were trapped when a tree crushed their house. Crews worked to save the family, even prayed outside. But the storm claimed the lives of a mother and her infant.
This loss of life is devastating.
Emergency officials warn the death toll may rise.
Rain and that flooding equals danger, and that means we're going to have patience.
Across the Carolinas, first responders rescued hundreds of people from the rising water.
We've seen a lot of people with a lot of water in their houses. There have been pets stranded. And anyone that needs help that looks like we can help, we try to go help.
Still more are trapped and awaiting help.
In a matter of seconds, my house was flooded up to the waist and now it's to the chest, and we are stuck in the attic, there's four of us.
The slow-moving storm is inching inward, promising days of destruction.
This is going to be a very trying period. This is something that we haven't had before.
This storm is deadly. We know that we're days away from it ending.
In Wilmington, North Carolina, I'm Natasha Chen reporting.
That courtesy of Westwood One News, and we'll be right back. This is meteorologist Tom Hale along with Steve Lenore, and you're listening to Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
I'm meteorologist Tom Hale on Red Eye Radio, along with meteorologist Steve Lenore. Steve.
It's a pleasure to be here, Tom.
And we are obviously covering now Tropical Storm Florence, still causing trouble and kind of being dangerous out there. We'll be covering a lot of that as we go through the night. And right now we have Pam Walker. She is the spokesperson for the North Carolina State Emergency Response Team. And so to start off with, Pam, what does that department do?
The state emergency response team, well, basically, it's a number of departments. It's just like the title says, it's a team effort. So, we have the Department of Public Safety, for example. We also have the Department of Health and Human Services, Environmental Quality. We have all our law enforcement partners. We have, other state agencies, we have our federal partners, we also have nonprofits, volunteer organizations, faith-based groups, as well as the private sector, such as the cell phone companies and the utilities and that type of thing. And so it's all those resources, all those different agencies and people that are working together to try and respond and help people during a storm.
Well, I'm very concerned here about the water quality at this point. Steve Lenore and I have been talking about this. Do you have any data on the pollutants and everything that's in the water?
No, it might be something that I can try and put my hands on, but don't have any specifics on that right now. But I think you have a right to be concerned. Certainly, there's just so much water, and so much flooding across the state right now, and no end in the very near future, as far as the rainfall, that storm just doesn't seem to be moving very much. And, with, raw sewage and, that type of thing, it is definitely something to be concerned about.
Yeah, Pam, this is Steve Lenore. How you doing? Appreciate your time for sure. This is coming from a copyrighted story in the New York Times yesterday where they talked about several things that could happen. They weren't throwing North Carolina under the bus in any way, saying that there's this or that that's going to happen, but they specifically mentioned coal ash and that can get out of hand when there's so much runoff. And there's a case in Tennessee where during a heavy rain, over 1 billion gallons of coal ash got washed into the surrounding waterways. And we have commentary from Duke Energy there in North Carolina that they're doing what they can to keep that from happening. But my concern is just so much rain, off the charts, record rainfall in many cases. Do you guys see one or more places where you're watching nervously that there might be something there that would get loose?
Well, I mean, like dams, like anything where you have certain areas that you have to be diligent and monitoring and ensure that the right people are watching for that type of thing and doing what they can to warn people when there's something that has that could be potentially breached, or there's going to be an issue. So they are our folks at the environmental quality are keeping an eye on that, and they're constantly monitoring and doing what they can to if they see an issue, make sure folks in the nearby area know.
Are there any dams that would raise any concern at all right now?
At last check, just a couple hours ago, asked someone that very question, and they said that there weren't any that that were at a high level of concern at this point in time.
Well, that's great news for sure. And, you know, Tom, we are very happy to have people call in and mm-hmm. ask questions or tell us about the conditions where they're at. They can do that at 1-866-90-RED-EYE, 1-866-90-RED-EYE. I'll throw it back to you, Tom.
Well, let me just ask Pam. I know we're going to be touching base with you again both tonight and tomorrow as we go through the remainder of this particular storm. Is there anything in the last 15 seconds that you can tell me that you'd want to get across to the listeners?
I just want to let folks know that we are do have a report of a lot of different roads that are closed right now. At last check, it was around 150 of those road closures that were in place. And just make sure that if you absolutely have to be out, that you check ahead and try to make sure where you're going and it will be able to get through.
All right. 95 okay still?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. All right, we'll be checking back with Pam Walker. Thank you, Pam.
All right, thank you.
No, please, a pleasure. And this is Red Eye Radio. I'm News 12 meteorologist. News 12. See, I got into that habit. Yes, I am a TV meteorologist.
KXII-TV.
KXII-TV, along with Steve Lenore. And this is Red Eye Radio. We'll be here keeping an eye on the storm for you.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, meteorologist Tom Hale, this is Red Eye Radio.
And we are back with our continuing coverage of the Tropical Storm Florence, formerly Hurricane Florence, that came ashore last night in Wrightsville Beach. And in fact, an interesting note here, the Weather Service predicted, the Hurricane Center predicted the landfall on this particular storm, and it turned out to be within 2 miles.
Remarkable. And that was 5 days out, Tom.
Yeah. We're talking about them indicating that they thought Wrightsville Beach would be the landfall, and of course we've seen this all the time. This landfall can fluctuate hundreds of miles in regards to that.
In fact, actually, you're right. Out 5 days, a typical they call the error, mm-hmm. a typical margin of forgiveness on a landfalling hurricane forecast is about 200 miles, which is still pretty darn impressive. Imagine only being 2 miles.
Well, yeah, and we've all seen this. This is called the cone of uncertainty.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and so aptly named, it gets bigger the further away it gets from where the storm is located, and so it's a very wide cone of uncertainty, and especially at one point, the actual size of the storm was 350, pushing close to 400 miles from one end to the other.
That's right, and the hurricane force winds inside of that, the corridor of hurricane force wind damage was about 140 miles wide. That's a pretty large hurricane, not the largest ever, but that definitely, that's one reason it's taken so long for Florence to wind down. All that momentum, all that air moving around the storm at that speed, with all that moisture in it, it just... It's like a top spinning down. It's a big top. It's got a lot of inertia, and it's very slowly spinning down. Still has 60-mile-per-hour winds, Tom, right now.
Well, and bottom line is, if you are in this particular storm, whether it's rain or you're just in the Carolinas, or possibly even if you're up to Hampton Roads, Virginia, which has gotten some rain bands and flooding up in that area, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-866-90-RED-EYE. That's 1-866-90-RED-EYE. And if you want me to spell it out for you, that's 866-907-3333. And so
there you went and done it now.
Yes.
Well, may I always throw in that if you're an evacuee and you're not in the storm zone, but you're in Charlotte or Virginia or some adjacent area, we'd like to know your experience getting out of there and what your plans are to get back. Because I want to emphasize to folks that don't plan on going back until you're given the all clear. There's a lot of flooding, a lot of road damage, and it's not over yet. So if you go back too soon, you could just be part of the problem.
Yeah, that's exactly right. By the way, if the station that you're listening to isn't carrying the full 5 hours of the show, you can listen to us on Red Eye Radio Show. That's redeyeradioshow.com. And once you get there, just click the Listen Live button. Or you can install Red Eye Radio app, and you can get that in the App Store or your favorite App Store. And so then you can listen live wherever you are carrying your phone. So, and a tablet and other mobile
device. It's all there. Yeah. Access is easy.
And so, and in this kind of weather situation, you may want to, because even when the sun comes out, as we talked about with Pam Walker, the spokesperson for the North Carolina Emergency Response Team, we're going to see flooded rivers that are going to last for days.
Oh, easy, Tom. In fact, it's typical with this kind of a setup where you have this tremendous amount of rain covering a large area of a drainage basin over several days that, well, take Hurricane Harvey's example last year, the Sabine River, which goes through Beaumont.
Right.
And some of the rivers that fed into Houston, Harris Bayou. It took them a number of days after the rain had quit to reach their crest, their highest point. And even after that, it fell very slowly, maybe only a half foot or a foot per day. So these things can be a flood stage for several weeks, depending on what the final rainfall tally is. It's going to be a devastating flooding. It's not going to go away in 24 hours or 36 hours or even 3 days. It's going to be a prolonged event where we have floodwaters.
Let's go to Chris. Chris is in Greenwood, South Carolina. Chris, you're with us on Red Eye Radio.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing good, Chris. How
about
you?
Thanks for calling.
I just called to tell you that we're riding the path of the hurricane after it turned into a tropical depression, Sandy.
Where are you now? Tell me where for our listeners as well, for Greenwood is actually located.
Where the located in the upstate part of South Carolina near Columbia, near Greenville.
Okay,
way up by Greenville, the northwest part of the state, then in the Piedmont, they call that. Is that where it is?
Mm-hmm, yeah, we're about like an hour away from Columbia.
Okay, so you haven't had a lot of rain up there yet, but it's coming.
No, well, we had some rain. We didn't have no rain yet. Mm-hmm. Well, I keep an eye on Myrtle Beach, and they're getting hammered hard.
Yes, they are. In fact, we have a radio station affiliate down in that area that is pretty much right on the beach. If you happen to know that area at all, there's a little area called Georgetown, right along the beach there.
Uh-huh. Is that radio station off the air due to the storm?
No, actually, they've got a generator, and they've been lucky. The power company is taking very good care of them as well. They lost power earlier today, and then they were able to get the power back up. And the FCC, the people who handle communications for the United States, they granted him an additional signal. So he has a FM station that's tied directly to it. So folks down there can listen to it on AM and FM, and they do have power at this point. And so we've been checking in with him. But they're on the side of the storm. They're on the what we would call the backside of the storm, that's had a lot of wind come through, and it's been not rain like you're describing. It's been the dry rain that's been coming on through. And yeah. And have you been experiencing some bouts of stout wind?
Yeah, we've been experiencing gusts of wind today, and can I tell you this? Like in North Carolina, the hardest hit place.
Mm-hmm. It really is. The flooding.
And I just realized that some of their weather radios are knocked off the air due to this, and the TV station in New Bern, Channel 12, they got flooded and they had to evacuate.
Yeah, WCTI. In fact, we were just looking at that on Twitter, that right in the middle of the weathercast, the flood advisory came in that, hey, water's coming into the station. So they just walked off the set in the middle of the news. How often does that happen? Except, of course, Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, do you remember WCIV in Charleston when Hugo hit?
I don't remember the station, but we remember Hugo.
That was 1989, of course.
They had the same problem. They had to evacuate because it flooded, and it took them like weeks and months to get the new station built.
Wow.
It was an NBC affiliate at the time. It was ABC.
Wow. That's, you know, and Hugo... obviously was a much stronger, and I'm correct me if I'm wrong, was a much stronger storm than what we're seeing here. But I'm not sure if Hugo was as big a rain producer.
No, it moved rather quickly through there, about 16 miles per hour, if my memory serves me correctly. That's how you know you've been around too long. You can remember a storm from 30 years ago.
Yeah, I was 2 or 3 years old when Hugo hit.
Yeah, I'm sure that people still talk about that because the wind in that thing was about a Category 4. It just devastated Charleston and areas up through Columbia, all the way to Charlotte. In fact, they had winds to 80 miles per hour out of Hugo because it moved so fast, it didn't lose its strength like Florence has done. Florence's winds are really not the issue anymore. It's just darn rain.
Well, Chris, you said how...
I remember some TV stations had to go off the air and let the hurricane do its work. They didn't stay on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know the owner of WGTN in Georgetown is actually sleeping and staying at the station. He's let his staff go, and so he's running the station by himself. And but he's determined.
Oh, yeah.
He's determined to make sure that the people, and that's what broadcast is all about. You're listening to us on a station that their responsibility is to do the best we possibly can to take care of people, and that is why Red Eye Radio, Westwood One, the network that brings it, is doing everything it possibly can to be able to provide information to you. And you said something that caught my attention just a second ago. I have to know. When Hugo came through, you mentioned that you were young, right? A child?
Yeah, I was 3 years old.
Okay. Now, so you may not be able to relate to this or be able to tell, but at 3 years old,
I just learned it from along the way when I grew up, learned about the history of Hugo.
Okay. I was going to say, because one of the things that I would like to address is I'm trying to imagine I'm somebody from 3 years old up to 10 years old. And this is
I'm a historian.
And my first experience. This is my, you know, I'm young, and this is my first experience with this kind of a storm. I'm wondering what emotional impact this has on kids.
Yeah, because you know, like when TV stations they stay on, like in Myrtle Beach right now, they had to preempt all the programs and they had to go live coverage 24/7.
Mm-hmm. And that's something
that I bet they don't get no sleep either.
Well, and that's something as a kid who's watching that, this is the first time that they've seen something like this literally take over for a day or more their entire world. You know, there's no cartoons, there's no educational program, there's no Sesame Street or any of that for the most part.
No soap operas like Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you know, WECT and WMBF, they preempted it today.
And so what are kids going to do? I mean, they must, and here's the interesting part about this. If they don't get any really heavy rain, if they don't have any impact from this, if it's not, you know, the kind of storm that they experienced, if they're on the wrong side of the storm, the dry side of the storm, they become kind of numb to this. So the next time somebody says, we're going to evacuate, well, guess what? You know, if you didn't...
Yeah, you know that Governor Hammond and Mayor said you need to evacuate, and you know some of these people, they're going to ride it out. Can't tell them hard heads what to do.
Well, and that's what family members all across the country were doing this past week. I had a call from from my cousin, and she said, our aunt and uncle live in Fayetteville, and mm-hmm. And they said we're fine. The lake in our community, the one in the back, that lake is drained, so we're good. We don't have any problem in Fayetteville. And I know their home. It's sturdy, and I'm not worried about wind or anything. But I am worried about the fact that they could be a victim of catastrophic floods. But the storms that they've had up to that point have not justified in their mind. And so when warnings come out and we talk about taking shelter or evacuating, there are people out there that ignore that. I'm assuming from your experience and being a historian, that wouldn't, you'd evacuate if somebody said that, it's time to go. Is that correct?
Yes, I would have. And, if you got like weather radios and stuff like that, that alert you with storms like hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they weigh in on that.
Tom, I just checked online not too long ago that some of them, like in North Carolina, is out of service. It ain't on the air.
Typically, this is Steve kind of weighing in on this. Chris, appreciate it. They call them the NOAA All Hazards Radio now. The reason they changed the name, it still does the same thing. It gives you weather bulletins, but also if there's a hazardous material spill or anything like that, it'll also give you a heads up on those things. Now, this is true that these can go off the air, but typically they're more reliable than your electricity in your house. So if you're watching TV and you're going to lose power in a storm like this, so that's going to be the first thing that goes. And the weather radio usually is one of the last things that goes out. They have been known to go out before, though. In 2011, there were some tornadoes in Alabama that wiped out several NOAA weather radio transmitters. And occasionally they'll put out a message that it's going to be off the air for, a few hours. This particular case, they probably lost their power. But they have backup generators at those sites. They're really, for the most part, pretty reliable. So when that's gone down, it just illustrates how bad this storm has been with the flooding.
Well, hey, Chris, I thank you very much. Any last words or thoughts that you'd like to share with the folks listening out there?
Wherever you are in the Carolinas, my thoughts and prayers go for you, especially the five deaths that happened. Please be safe. This is a beast of a storm. You call Florence.
Thank you very much.
Indeed.
Appreciate that very much, Chris. Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina. You're listening to Red Eye Radio. Let me give you our phone number again. That is 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-90-RED-EYE. If you want the numbers here, it's 866-907-3339. Okay, give us a call here on Red Eye Radio. We want to hear from you, especially if you're in the Carolinas and in Virginia. This is meteorologist Tom Hale and Steve Lenore. We're here with you on Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
And you've got meteorologist Tom Hale along with meteorologist Steve Lenore. We also do television.
In color.
Yes, in color.
Yeah.
But last night I was very concerned. We had the strong winds, hurricane force winds that were coming off and onshore, and it was blowing up to the north and the west up the Neuse River. And of course, at the base or the end of that Neuse River is James City and New Bern and also Brigton. And so there's a television station in New Bern.
That's right, Tom. It's WCTI, and their meteorologist, Donnie Cox, and Shane Henson, of course, were doing wall-to-wall coverage, as we say in the business, on the approach of Florence. And as this wind was whipping up the bay there, it backed the river up about 9 to 10 feet above flood stage. Now, the TV station normally is about a half mile from the Neuse River, but it became part of the river due to this storm surge flooding. And we have a little clip to play of when these two gentlemen decided it was time to quit the broadcast, hang it up.
We have the situation that has developed here at the station, and that is that the water getting close to the building, that the building has been evacuated. Just so that you know, we are staying here to keep you up to date. We're trying to establish here in just a little bit with our sister station in Wilmington or Myrtle Beach, I think it is.
Yeah.
And what's interesting on that, we got this off their Twitter feed, and there was a variety of comments, some people praising them for staying there as late as possible, others saying, hey, y'all should have known it was going to flood. You should have gotten out sooner.
Bought a pair of waders.
You know, so the public always has a different perception of what meteorologists are doing, perhaps, than we do. We do, I think, have a job that's very important when there's dangerous weather, like a hurricane or a tornado or something like that. And we do believe that providing accurate information can help you make decisions which can improve your chances of survival and decrease your chances of damaging property of yours or other people's. So if you say meteorologist saves lives, that might be technically true at times, but we don't walk around with that sort of a mindset. It's a public service to give you a good forecast, to warn you of severe weather. And if along the way that's a blessing to you, hallelujah. But I think some of the comments on this Twitter feed were these guys were kind of just a little too what's the word? Hollywooding it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think they were Hollywooding it, because that the 9 foot of water that backed up from the river, this is inundation. This isn't heavy rain or anything else like that. That's just water rising, and it can rise very fast. And at that point, you know, you're in danger. We've got a lot of wires on our floor at our television station, and they're charged. There's electricity there. And so, no, I don't think I'd be hanging around either. And,
maybe stand on a chair.
Yeah, yeah. And I probably wouldn't be doing the waiters either. Hey, give us a call here at Red Eye Radio. We want to hear from you. This is meteorologist Tom Hale and Steve Lenore.
Are open 1-866-907-3339 866-90-RED-EYE. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, here is meteorologist Tom Hale.
And we are here along with meteorologist Steve Lenore, and we are keeping an eye on this rain. This rain is tremendous. And it, you know, it wasn't a good thing. Well, there's two ways to look at it. It was rocketing. Florence is a hurricane. It was rocketing 17 miles an hour across the Atlantic, aimed pretty much dead on for Wrightsville Beach, which is where it ended up going. But at the same time, it then slowed down. And as it did, it spread out. The wind field got bigger. And along with it, the rain bands intensified. And we still have very strong feeder bands that are coming in, primarily from Wilmington back north up to just underneath Raleigh. And they're going to be seeing anywhere up to 12 to 18 inches additional rain in these areas. And Steve, right now you've been watching the rivers and the numbers of rain coming down.
Yes, sir. In fact, these spiral bands, they're narrow, maybe 15, 20-mile wide strings of thunderstorms, if you will. And one of these has dumped an inch and a half of rain in the last hour in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And that's just really bad news, because they've already had 20 inches in Jacksonville, which is about 15 miles inland. It's northeast of Wilmington and west of Morehead City. So it's a beautiful town. About 70,000 people live there. They're going to be having a lot of flooded homes, it sounds like, with that. In fact, I wanted to give you another river update.
Yeah.
This is from the Army Corps of Engineers and the National Weather Service, who work together on the hydrology, which is the forecasting of waterways. The Little River at Manchester, which is near Fort Bragg, big military installation there, is forecast to be at 35.4 feet on Monday. That's 6.5 feet above the old record. So.
Okay. And so that means that if you know where the river is and the height of the river, we're talking about coming out of its banks from bank full up 6 additional feet.
Actually, more than that, if I may.
Yeah.
Because I didn't tell you that. I need to give you more information so you can understand that the flood stage on that river is much lower. The flood stage is 18 feet. Oh. So the previous record was 11 feet over flood stage. Now we're going to go with 17 feet over flood stage, which is going to spread out a lot.
Okay, flood stage is at the, obviously, folks, this is the riverbank level where it starts to trickle out to the side and so forth and come out of its banks. That's what we call when we look at it, we go, that's a swollen river.
Yeah, that's a minimal flood. That'd be a minor flood right at flood stage.
This river that we're talking near Fort Bragg, and the river name again is...
Little River in Manchester, North Carolina.
Pun intended.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The irony there.
Yeah, it isn't. It's pun intended.
It's a not-so-little river right now.
Yeah, and Manchester. Little River in Manchester near Fort Bragg. So if you are in that particular area, don't go down to check out the river right now.
Well, now listen to this, okay?
17 feet above flood stage.
Well, that's the forecast, okay? Yes. I can get this stuff off the internet, and you can go there and get it, too, from the Advanced Hydrologic Prediction Service. That's a mouthful to say. But right now, that river is not at flood stage. It's at 12 feet. So it's forecast to rise 23 feet between now and its crest on Monday, which is 2.5 days. That's an unbelievable amount of increase, 23 feet in depth. And who knows how wide that'll get. You know, you have to study each waterway to know that. But it's probably going to be a half mile wide.
Well, it could be more than that because, see, the terrain in that particular area is relatively flat. It's not high. It's before you get into the hills and you're heading toward Tennessee. And that doesn't include any, obviously that calculation does include additional drainage into that water basin.
Right, but those things, you and I know this from Tropical Depression Bob came into our neighborhood of Texoma back in 2015. Those forecasts can change real fast if you get a few extra rain bands in there that weren't anticipated. And I've seen those things go up or down a number of feet in just one day. So it's an imperfect science.
Mm-hmm.
But with this much rain and the rain that was already taking place before Florence showed up, as far as really a record wet summer for much of eastern North Carolina, if anything, this might be a little conservative. But it's going to be a terrible flood.
Well, it's going to head out toward Columbia and then South Carolina, and then it's going to start to finally make its left turn and head off to the north and the east. If that left turn is a sharper left turn, it's going to take it much closer through Raleigh and also along those hills there, and there'll be more drainage down into that. So that's exactly what you're talking about, that we could add a little more rain band to this and these numbers become even higher. But what we're saying here is that we're looking at almost a 12-foot rise above the flood stage.
Actually, 17 feet.
Okay, but over the next 2 days.
Right, it's at 12 feet now. It's going to be at 35 feet by Monday. According to the forecast, these things aren't set in stone. So that's an amazing rise of 23 feet. And while we're talking about that real quick, if you're listening from Raleigh, you're 160 miles from the center of Florence. No longer has an eye. It's a tropical storm now. But you're 160 miles away, and you have gotten some really heavy rain. In the last several hours, you've gotten over 3 inches of rain. There have been some flash flood warnings as far north as Raleigh, North Carolina. So this thing is really affecting a huge area of real estate, Tom.
And by the way, if you are anywhere within that real estate, or maybe you've left and you're waiting to come back, we want to hear from you. Okay, give us a call at 1-800-90-RED-EYE. That's 1-800-90-RED-EYE. And in fact, Karen McGinnis, a known meteorologist that we know, and she is talking about the rain and that we're still very concerned about, and that's down in Florence. And here's Karen McGinnis.
Still an excessive rainfall outlook, meaning there is the potential for more flooding. How can there be more? The ground is saturated. Those trees are going to come down. The ground just can't hold those roots anymore. The rivers can't hold the water anymore. They'll be spilling out for days and days to come. So this is a long haul event.
All right, we're talking, and tornadoes. She ends it with tornadoes, even though we've been talking about flooding. There's still the possibility of tornadoes in these bands of rain as well.
That's right, Tom. Anytime a tropical cyclone, which is a tropical depression, a tropical storm, or a hurricane make landfall, due to the way the storm interacts with the friction of the land, there's almost always a few tornadoes with it. And so it is classic tornado generation country. Now, these aren't giant EF4 and EF5 supercell tornadoes. They're generally smaller, but they can still do a lot of damage. And a tornado watch is in effect right now for that part of North Carolina, Wilmington, Beaufort back to Jacksonville and Fayetteville, and that runs until 11 UTC, which would be 5 o'clock Eastern Time a.m. So there is a tornado watch. In effect, right now, because of these spiral bands can generate tornadoes, almost all the tornadoes in a hurricane or tropical storm are on the northeast quadrant of them. So South Carolina is not in this watch.
Okay. But these tornadoes are brief, and if a warning is issued for your area, you need to be able to already have a safe place to go to. You already need to have maybe a pair of tennis shoes, because at this time of night, maybe you're not wearing any shoes. And you may also need to have your baseball helmet available to you as well. Bicycle helmet, baseball helmet, or whatever. Have all those things sitting in one room that you've set aside in case you are awakened by maybe it's a device, it's a warning system on your phone,
yep,
or anything else like that.
Thermos of hot chocolate also would be nice to have.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Just in case.
Yeah, cookies and stuff like that. And a safe place away from all the walls and windows and everything in your home. Because if you get an alert to that effect that there's a tornado warning in your area, you need to simply get up and get there right away, because these storms are very brief, but they can do a lot of damage.
They also move fast. Typically, the winds in these spiral bands are pushing these tornadoes along at about 40 miles per hour. So you should already be away from the windows in a hurricane or a tropical storm. So
yeah, yesterday the bands were moving at 45 to 50 miles an hour, and I was reading one of the tornado warnings when they came out, and I got down to the part where it was moving 40 miles an hour, and I just said, OMG, I can't believe what's going on. That's really rocking along. So these storms can come up on you fast, and they can dissipate just as fast. But the short and sweet of it is that in this kind of situation, you need to have the radio tuned in and your apps on your phone ready to alert you to any situation, and you need to have a place in your house to go to. You're listening to Red Eye Radio, meteorologist Steve Lenore, and I'm Tom Hale. We'll be right back on Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
All right, we're back on Red Eye Radio, and we have National Weather Service forecaster out of Raleigh, Brian Haynes. Brian, welcome aboard.
Hey, Tom and Steve, good to talk to you guys this morning.
Well, great to hear from you. We've got an immediate question for you about the Little River, and the calculations that we're playing with. You know, I mean, weather geeks are weather geeks, and so we've determined a 17-foot rise over the next 2 days above flood stage on this river.
That's what the Advanced Hydrologic Prediction Center, I love that phrase, dropped that at a party and impressed somebody, is saying. They're saying 35.4 feet, all-time record. In fact, that would be 6 feet higher than the previous record. And what we're trying to figure out is, if that happens, do you have any feel for how wide that waterway would get and what it would inundate?
So we can take a look at that for you guys right quick. I don't have those numbers right off the top of my head, but we'll take a look for you right quick.
Okay.
You don't mean to throw you under the bus there at all. So, yeah, we'd be happy to, just give you a second.
No, that's okay. What else do you guys got? We'll take a look here.
All right. While you're doing that, the other things that we'd love to know is, obviously, the number one issue you've got right now, your concern is going to be flooding, I would assume.
Yes, sir.
And so where are the areas that our listeners are going to be probably we want to alert the listeners to what's going to happen here. And so what are the areas of your greatest concern?
Sure. So the greatest concern right now are really mainly in southern Wayne County, into Sampson County, into Johnson County, Harnett counties. There's a really nice band of precipitation that is moving across the area, and that's progressing from southwest over northeast, and a couple inches can fall really quickly within about an hour or so out of that heavier band. And right now we have a flash flood warning out until 11 a.m. this morning, so everyone needs to turn around, not drown, and stay inside, please, if they can.
This is Steve. Brian, how closely do you guys work with, let's say, the state police and things like that to determine the possibility that certain roads, I'm thinking here of Interstate 95. Is there any chance that road will have to be closed because of the forecast flooding that is happening?
Yeah, so, Steve, you're talking about obviously the local law enforcement, state law enforcement, and absolutely we're communicating with them. So that's actually one of the big things that we've been going through tonight, as are most days. Hopefully, you know, most days is relatively quiet, and we're just keeping communication open. But tonight, obviously, we're pretty busy. We've been talking to a lot of the county EOCs, emergency operations centers, and they're the ones who obviously pass along the info to us on how or if and when road closures are happening. So our viewers, they can see all the road closures that we have. We put those out through what are called local information statements or public information statements. And those are available on our website, and I highly encourage people to take a look at those. As soon as we get word of it, we pass that along and put that out in the public. And also in our warnings, if you take a look through our warnings, a lot of times we'll put road closures in. I just put out, actually, on the latest warning we did, a bunch of the road closures we had.
Real quickly then, before I turn it back to Tom, do you anticipate that I-95 may have to be closed for our listeners?
I can't say, to be honest with you. I mean, my best advice for people is just try to stay inside and don't try to travel today if you can.
That's sad words. Yeah, great advice. And have you got anything on the Little River? And if not, we can touch back with you later into the show. But we are kind of curious. That's one heck of a rise above flood stage.
Sure. So are you looking at the Little River at Manchester?
That's correct.
Yeah, so at 30 feet, water starts to reach the base of Bragg Boulevard. That's at Highway 24 and 87, the bridge across the river. Then at 37 feet, flooding begins to reach the road level on Bragg at 24 and 87, the bridge over the Little River. And that's actually when local businesses will also start to become flooded at 37.
So it looks like it'll come up just short of that. Hopefully it's going 35.4 on the forecast now. So that's something we can maybe take a tiny sigh of relief on if that comes out to be true.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key thing for people to remember here is that flooding is forecasted. The river flood warning's out, so if you know you're in an area that floods, you obviously need to have already been taking action, and if you're not, you need to take action immediately.
Okay, thank you very much, Brian.
All right, we'll talk with you later. Brian Hayes, forecast with the National Weather Service in Raleigh, North Carolina, as we continue to bring you the latest statistics and what's going on out there in your neck of the woods. This is meteorologist Tom Hale, along meteorologist Steve Lenore, and you're listening to us on Red Eye Radio. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call at 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-90-RED-EYE. We've still got some very strong rain that's going on out there. Heavy downpours. In fact, as much as an inch an hour to 2 inches an hour.
And that's right, Tom. And if someone loses power, they can still listen to the Red Eye Radio show on their phone. So Install the Red Eye Radio app from your phone. And if you have no electricity, you can still enjoy the show.
All right. You're listening to Red Eye Radio. Stay tuned, folks. This is meteorologist Tom Hale and Steve Lenore.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.